You're listening to the Legal Curve post-game podcast. I'm Richard Pollack, doing a solo podcast tonight. Drew Mandel was unable to attend tonight's game, and Ezra Ginsberg is under the weather. Tough game for the Jets tonight, Monday, November 23rd. You know, you come into this game having won two games in a row, beating Vancouver, and then the Arizona Coyotes this past Saturday, and you're thinking the Jets have maybe turned the corner. And, you know, they haven't played particularly well, in my opinion. They've had moments of good play, but really haven't played a consistent 60 minutes. And tonight's game was, you know, a game in which they controlled the play for large portions of the game, but weren't able to really generate much in the way of scoring chances. You know, the puck possession didn't really translate into a ton of shots, and you know that's reflected in the shot totals tonight, with the Jets actually only registering 21 shots on net, and the Avalanche registering 29 shots on net. So it's one of a poor performance of the Jets season. The building, the MTS Center, was quiet tonight. Wasn't much to cheer about, you know, aside from the Jets goal, which we'll talk about shortly. The fight between Anthony Peluso, Chris Thorburn, and Cody McLeod, who was a first star tonight. And the odd chance or odd hit, it was a silent crowd, and the Jets didn't give them much to cheer about tonight. And, you know, it's what, chicken or the egg, right? Did the crowd need to get going to get the team going, or vice versa? Either way, it was a tough performance tonight by the Jets. It was tough sledding. They really weren't able to generate much. And let's start with the review of the game by going to the first period. And in the first period, the Jets, the teams were equal in terms of shots, although the Jets were likely the better team. And they got on the board with the first goal of the game. Tobias Enstrom, his first goal of the season. A guy doesn't shoot very often, and this wasn't a particularly great shot, but Blake Wheeler enters the zone on the left side with speed, curls, and gets the puck back to Enstrom at the blue line. The Avalanche are in pretty good position here. You know, kind of playing man-on-man. Everybody's got their own guy, but Enstrom gets that shot through, and such a critical skill these days with so much shot blocking. He was able to get the shot through, and that puck floats, you know, not too soft, but floats in. You see Tyler Myers kind of pinch in and try for the tip. He doesn't get the tip, but that is distracting for the goaltender for sure. And Varlamov, who was the second star tonight, wasn't able to see it. The puck isn't tipped, gets through, and it's a 1-0 lead for the Jets. They take that into the end of the first period, and, you know, probably feeling pretty good. Again, coming off two victories, two victories against, you know, two not great teams, but you're playing Colorado, end of a road trip, not a deep team, not a very good team on the back end. So you're feeling all right. You come into the second period, and the performance, you know, you get seven shots in this period, and again, the Avs get seven shots in this period. Overall, I thought it's taking a little bit, taking a little bit too long to kind of make a dent in the game. And the Avs are able to get on the board late in the second period, and this kind of changed things, right? I mean, you have a Jets team that's kind of sleepwalking and playing all right, sleepwalking a little bit through the game, but up 1-0, you think, okay, they're able to get that goal that they need, and they'll be able to solidify the victory. That doesn't happen, and the goal happens on the power play, the second unit, no less, for the Colorado Avalanche. And the Avalanche load up the first unit. They have MacKinnon, Duchesne, Jerome McGinley, Tyson, Berry, and Gabriel Landeskog. So, I mean, you're talking about probably their five best offensive players on the squad. So their second unit's not very loaded. And you think to yourself, okay, you know, if they get through that first power play unit, they should be able to make it through the second unit unscathed. That didn't happen here. On this play, you really just have Mikhail Grigorenko getting over the blue line, making the pass to Carl Soderberg, who is your natural center. He gets streaking down the right wing, and he beats Adam Party wide. Gets going with a little bit of speed and is able to beat him wide. This is the penalty that happened here is the Dustin Byfuglien penalty, which I thought was a questionable call. Actually, I thought it was a bad call. Dustin Byfuglien gets called for cross-checking Matt Duchesne. In reality, that was a play that happens every day of the week, and Dustin Byfuglien's a strong guy. Matt Duchesne's really strong on his skates, but small. So I don't think the penalty should have been called, but it was. And the Jets are left with Soderberg going wide on Party, cutting into the front of the net. Doesn't even get a shot off the puck. The puck gets tipped off of him, or kind of a partial shot. Hits Tyler Myers' skate, it looks like, and pops into the net. So bad luck there for Michael Hutchinson. And, you know, Party isn't the best skater, and you probably want to be able to seal that corner. But it wasn't really much of anything. And second unit, which isn't really that dangerous, gets on the board 1-1. And that's how the way it ends the second period. So if you're the Jets, you're thinking to yourself, we haven't played particularly well. Now we're tied, and Colorado, who's at the end of a seven-game road trip, can come and steal 2 points. It kind of looked like they felt the pressure there because Colorado came out, and again, at the end of a road trip, and outshoots the Jets 13-5 in the third period. Really a poor performance by the Jets in the third. And, you know, granted, the Avalanche started on the power play at the beginning of the third with a four-minute double minor at the end of the second that carried over with 3 minutes. The top of the period was 3 minutes set, but from the 20-minute mark to the 17-minute mark, the Avs were on the power play. They didn't get anything going, though. They weren't able to score a goal there. So you think, okay, the Jets can build momentum, which unfortunately they were not able to build momentum if you're a Jets fan. And the Avalanche scored the second goal of the game. And this is one of those where, you know, you like to have back. If Blake Como gets in into the offensive zone, similar to Wheeler, right-hand shooting guy on the left side for the Jets goal, and he gets the puck back to Zach Redmond. So you're thinking to yourself, Zach Redmond, I mean, and the Jets let him go, that'd be a tough one to swallow. Well, Redmond comes in, gets the puck with a little bit of speed, and dekes around Matthew Perreault. And, you know, when Perreault gets beat as a left winger, the right defenseman, Redmond has some time. And when he has some time, Scheifele was helping in the bottom corner, tries to get out to Redmond, but again, that's Perreault's guy, and he gets beat. It's not Scheifele's fault. And Redmond's able to get a shot off. Shot looks like it hits Cody McLeod, who's being taken out by Mark Stewart, and pops in the net. So a little bit of bad luck, but Matthew Perreault's got to be aware positionally of where Zach Redmond is, and know that he can skate fairly well, and got to get in his way, and he doesn't do that. It creates a scoring chance. A nice pass by Como, who wasn't bad tonight. But you know, a goal the Jets would like to probably have back defensively. Another tough break for Hutchinson, who has two goals, the first two goals of the game, coming off of bounces off of teammates. One off Myers and the other off McLeod, so not his teammate, but bounces off guys in front of the net, which is unlucky. So the Jets get down 2-1. You think, okay, maybe there's a push here. Really wasn't much of a push. The Jets weren't able to penetrate the middle of the ice tonight, and that's by design. You know, Colorado plays a lot of guys back in the neutral zone. They know they have a one-line scoring squad, really, and a little bit from Soderberg and Ginla, but mostly at even strength, they're relying on their top unit, which they've loaded up to Shane McKinnon and Landeskog. So they play back in the neutral zone. They kind of stay on the outside. Defensively, they're not great, which you'd hope if you're a Jets fan, they'd be able to create more offense, but they weren't able to do that. And then you get to the third goal. So third goal happens, 16:09 of the third period, and Dustin Byfuglien, right side D, playing with Jacob Trouba, who's also right side D, was on the left side here. He jumps up into the neutral zone to try and check Gabriel Landeskog. Landeskog is a strong player. He's able to angle off Byfuglien, make a pass back to Tyson Barry, the right side D at the defensive blue line, who sees Matt Duchene flying the neutral zone with speed, and he's a tremendous skater, probably top 10 in the National Hockey League. Duchene gets a step, and Jacob Trouba is also a tremendous skater. But he's playing the left side here. You know, still those angles are tough, and he tries to catch up to him. Duchene's able to turn the corner on Trouba, and he really had him beat the whole way. Trouba's got pretty good make-up speed and was able to make it closer probably than most defensemen would make it look. And Duchene's able to angle Trouba, protect the puck with his shoulder, and go forehand, backhand through the look like the five-hole of Michael Hutchinson. And the Jets are down 3-1 with less than 4 minutes left, and that was it. Jets allowed an empty net goal by Blake Como, the aforementioned Blake Como, at the 18:50 mark, and a shot blocked by Cody McLeod, who had a couple of good chances earlier, too, and to be honest, I thought deserved the first star of the game tonight. And full disclosure is Dave Manuk and I of LegalCurve.com picked the three stars, so we say that he earned the first star because we picked him, but truthfully, he created a couple of good scoring chances earlier, and he's a Manitoba boy, so it was a nice performance for him. Overall, though, one of the games that the Jets are going to like to have back, and right now it looks like they're trending in the wrong direction. They don't have a lot of confidence. Creating scoring chances tonight was not a strong suit, and you know, overall, defensively, they weren't terrible by any means, but it seems like they can't just put it together. So they end the three-game homestand with a record of 2-1, and 2-1 is not terrible, but when you went on a six-game losing streak, you have to be able to make up ground some way, and now you're going to play Washington on Wednesday and then a back-to-back. against the Wild and the Avalanche that just obviously played tonight. So should be interesting. We'll break it down tomorrow. Is NHL this week as the Jets play Wednesday in Washington. So we'll be on there at 6 o'clock p.m. start. Joe Beninati is the guest, the Washington Capitals play-by-play man, and also Carey Fraser will be on, former NHL referee and from Come On Ref on TSN. So that's it for the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. It's Richard Pollock, and we'll see you tomorrow night at 6 for NHL This Week.